Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Hello, my witchy poo. That's also called guest 41EI. How are you? I think that your father must be Elon Musk, because that is what he would name his kid. Normally you have something cute. Like you'll have, you know, the good witch or witchy poo, or you had like, you had internet issues. One time was your name. Hilarious. You must be sleepy. I'm just kidding. I know you're not sleepy. That's our topic. Kinda. And I don't know who this question came from. So if you want some credit, you're going to have to raise your hand, because I think it was maybe through one of our Instagram, like, what do you want to hear about kind of. So if this is you, you have cost me about 13, 14 hours of my life to really research this, process through it, try to find some answers. So thanks.
Going down nerdy elf rabbit hole.
Holy crap, did I ever. So we're going to jump into this because there's actually a lot of territory to cover. And we're going to, you know, listen, as much as I'd love to tell everybody we have answers to everything, we have answers to a lot, but not everything. And there are some things you guys throw as curveballs. And so, you know, we'll actually go through and discuss a lot of this as we go through it. So we hope we can answer this question, who asked. It is very simple. And I love this. I can answer the second half of it. The question is sleep paralysis and hypnagogia, any spiritual meanings? Well, the answer is yes. There's spiritual meanings in everything. So we can end the show now, or this is multiple choice. We can end the show, or we can talk about what hypnagogia is, because we've actually obviously talked about sleep paralysis, but we'll also blend it in a little bit. What do you pick, A or B?
Do we really have a choice? Let's say, show
no,
of hands.
I love that. Show of hands.
Show of hands.
I think everybody raised their hand and they're like, what is hypno-go what?
Yeah.
Which is why we're titling it hypno-go what? Because that was my response when I got that. And I was a little embarrassed.
We have such smart listeners. They just freaking awesome.
right? It's like, and especially somebody who like lets me get my nerd on. So I think we should do this first segment and just talk a little bit about what is hypnagogia. In fact, I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it.
We're going with it though. Sounds good.
We're going to go with it.
The spelling, sounds legit to me.
the spelling is H-Y-P-N-A, hypna, G-O-G-I-A. So I figured it's called hypnagogia. And I said Gia because there was that, I knew a girl named Gia. So I kind of figured that it was Gia. I mean, that was my process. You're welcome, everybody.
Did she have hypnagogia?
I don't know. Maybe she did.
Maybe she did.
Maybe she did. So here's what, and here's what's really fun. So, you know, I like to do research. And one of the reasons I like to do research is obviously I like to learn new things, but I also like to find inconsistencies. That's more of a hobby than it is anything else. But I found a lot of, but it's interesting. And we're going to get to some of those inconsistencies in this study. But so here's what I believe the definition of hypnagogia is, which is, and I'm going to have to say this word so many times. Hypnagogia is a transitional state of consciousness between wakefulness and sleep. It's the opposite. Oh shit. I don't even remember reading this word of hypnopompia. And what was that? Pompeii? I don't know what that is. Which is a transitional state that occurs before you wake up. Okay. That's also, they can call what they want. That's actually sleep paralysis, but we'll get into that in a second. What I learned is that hypnagogia is apparently common. And I did not realize that because I never heard of it. Experience. And they talk about it like it's an involuntary experience, where they call them imaginary experiences. This is where I get furious at a lot of this stuff.
A bunch of women reported it. That's another way to say that.
Right. That's exactly what they think. It's like, oh, them girls, you know, they're making shit up all the time. They call them hallucinations is really the word that they use very consistently in this. And I'm going to say, I'm actually going to jump to the end a little bit to let people know about, well, just about who has actually practiced this. And these are not people, by the way, who are any slouches, because there are a lot of very famous people that try to create an environment where they can experience this hypnagogia, which, you know, again, that others call hallucinations. Just a few, you know, tiny people, I think, a few tiny famous people that try to get into it. And
remember when you used to get tiny food? That's what it makes me think of.
Right. Oh, I know. That was one of my many diets that I've gone through in my life, is the tiny food diet. One of them is a little fella named Thomas Edison. Another one is Edgar Allan Poe and Salvador Dali. And what they tried to do to stimulate it is that they would hold an iron or metal ball in their hand, like a heavy one. And so when they would fall asleep, the ball would drop on the floor and kind of wake them enough to have this hallucination, so to speak. Right.
So they were having this sort of in between sleep and wake experience. But they've had previous experiences where they'd have an insight, but then when they woke up, it was gone. So they wanted something to interrupt the process so they could remember their insights.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. That's exactly what they were trying to do.
So these balls, when they hit the ground, would bring them into consciousness, and then they could capture their insight.
Enough to capture it. Exactly right. Okay. Remember how we talked about things like microdosing and things like that of ways for us to try to find some other state?
Yeah. People, yeah.
They used to hold, you know, these steel balls in their hand. Of course, I want to make so many jokes about saying iron balls, steel balls, all that kind of stuff. Like, I cannot tell you how much I'm having to hold back all of the things I want to say, because the reality is that I have steel balls too. But they're more imaginary.
Get it out of your system.
I did. I had to say it. It was hard. Oh, look, there you go. Another joke.
Boom.
Anybody who's had an EEG knows that there are five types of brainwaves. I'm not going to go too far into this, but I'm just going to let folks know that this is part of the science behind, is that they will measure an EEG. There are delta waves, or theta waves, or alpha waves, or beta waves, and our gamma waves, right? And it sounds actually like sorority row when I went to college. Yes. Is what that sounded like to me. It's like all the brain waves have sorority houses, and each of them operates slow to fast. And so what happens is, and this is their explanation why they say it's hallucinations, is that when one speeds up and one slows down, it's like this kind of medical moment happens that makes you hallucinate, is effectively what they're trying to say. So they talk about the different stages of sleep, things like that. And what they say that happens is, they say that in this, when we're sleeping and then we begin to wake, they say that our sense of here and now transitions from the real world to the dream world. And what people experience, again, they call them hallucinations. And by the way, guys, we've all, I'm sure, experienced this. I have a hard time going into the hallucination things, because hallucination is saying that my mind is playing tricks on me. And I get kind of pissy when I see the scientists write about this kind of stuff. So just FYI.
And I would also say those very famous, you know, creative minds, creators, they created from philosophies to art to, right?
Electricity,
right? These minds that would seek beyond what is, wrote a long time ago, right? They created these, you know, processes and these experiences a long time ago. And even today, I would say there's a lot about the brain activity. We're always finding out more, right? Science is great at updating itself. But there's still a lot we don't know that happens in these different phases, or how we go from one activity of the brain to the next, and what happens in that gap in between. Like, they just don't know.
You're absolutely right. And I think is actually one thing I wanted to say before we even started down this hypno-go-go, whatever it's called, down that path, is sleep is one of those fascinating.
Right.
Right. It's fascinating.
So essential.
But the research and what people experience, and either you can fall asleep, you can't fall asleep, you can't stay asleep, you can't, you know, there's all these things.
You can't wake up.
You can't wake up. There's, you know, right. There is Ambien for people, which I highly advise people not to take it.
You might who want to buy a trailer.
Yeah, don't. If you do take Ambien, set your phone and your iPad aside so you don't go to eBay and happen to bid on a 1986 35-foot Airstream like somebody on this podcast did once. And Suzanne wanted to name it Ambience. But sleep is this fascinating, right? Because it's just fascinating and how we're all different with it. It's cause for a lot of conversations, a lot of worry, a lot of everything. And you know, you're right. The scientists come back and they're saying you shouldn't sleep more than 7 hours. You should really
unless
get between
you sleep
six
nine,
and seven.
Which some people say.
it's you know, it's all that they say. Listen, they also told us once that smoking was good for us.
Yeah.
You know, they also told us that have a low fat diet and that was healthy. And PS tried that and they ate a lot of candy and didn't lose a pound. So they aren't always right. And so I just, when we talk about these things, and obviously I'm going to like go overboard on how they are not right. But I think it's important. It's not saying they're wrong all the time, but they're also not right all the time. And maybe on that note, we might want to take a little quick break so I can get.
Yeah, we're a little over break time.
We're a little over break time, and I'm all fired up about the scientists.
It's hard
buttholes.
To jump in. My elf on a roll.
No shit.
Okay. Nerdy elf. All right, we'll be right back.
How many free trial subscriptions end up costing you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, long after you forgot to cancel? It's time to fight back against scammy subscriptions with Truebill. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, you don't want, you don't use, just because you simply forgot to cancel it. This is so true for me. I get so busy and then all of a sudden I see my statements and I'm like, oh, how long have I been paying for this? It's so hard. Truebill saved me so much and I'm sure they can save you money too. Truebill has over 2 million users and saved them over $100 million. Like Jennifer B., who says, with your help, our family saved $587 a year on unnecessary subscriptions. I really didn't understand how Truebill could help me until we decided to save for a very large home purchase. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/otherside. Go right now to Truebill.com/otherside, and it could save you thousands of dollars a year.
Hey, this is Paris Hilton. Last year, I revealed the story of my abuse at Provo Canyon School. Since then, thousands of survivors have come forward. Now I'm on a mission to expose the truth of the entire industry. In this weekly investigative podcast, me and my host, Rebecca Mellinger and Caroline Cole, will examine one infamous teen treatment facility each season. First up, Provo Canyon School. This one is personal.
When you first get there, you have to experience girls screaming, locked up, peeing themselves, in the hallway sleeping. And you're like, where am I? Holy heck, this is not what I expected.
Listen to Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, hey, this is John O'Brien, entrepreneur and a fellow builder just like you. Thanks to the help of iHeartRadio and Prudential Financial, I'd like to present to you my brand new podcast. It's called Building the Good Life, where each week, a special friend and I will unpack and talk in detail about financial literacy, building generational wealth, building back community, building the best version of you, life lessons, and whatever else is on your mind. That's right. This is a time for you to become the best version of who you are, using some of the best leaders in the world to do it as they unpack and show a special side of themselves you've never seen before. So if you're ready to build the best version of you, you're ready to build the next generation of what comes next, make sure to listen to Building the Good Life on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back from Nerdy Elf on a Roll.
And I love science too. I love math. I love science. I just, you know, it's just that, you know, I've always said, you know, scientists can prove what they want to. Like, I will tell you, back in my day when I dealt with, you know, in the media side of my job in marketing, I could make a spreadsheet say what I wanted it to say. I didn't, for the record, but I could. Always. And scientists can do the same thing.
Well, numbers are just storytelling like anything else.
Exactly right. So in the same, I think, in the medical community. But so what they talk about, the effects of hypnagogia on your body is that, and this is, of course, I love this, you start to lose touch with reality.
Thank God.
Yeah, no shit. You start to lose touch with reality as your body prepares to enter sleep. Because let's be honest, like, right, we've talked about this. Is, you know, we are a spirit having a human experience. Mm-hmm. Your physical bag of meat needs to rest, right? But your spirit doesn't.
Right. So mostly so your liver can clean all your blood. That's really why we sleep so much.
Huh. What do you know?
Just I dropped that in.
I did not know. But now I do.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but when you think about all of this in that context, it's like, yeah, my physical body needs to rest, but my spirit is busy all the damn time. And yeah. So when they talk about hallucinations, they talk, and I'm not saying hallucinations aren't possible because they are possible.
Of course.
But on the day-to-day basis, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything you experience is some type of so-called hallucination, which means that it's fake and it's a fraud. That's the part that irritates me.
And we also don't know if the scientists would label any dream a hallucination. That's possible.
That's very possible.
Particularly visitations from spirit. They would call that a hallucination.
They would totally. That's exactly right. You know, and I have a feeling why these very prestigious names that I had rattled off earlier before the break, you know, again, they invented electricity. They were artists. And so you can't possibly tell me and convince me that that was not a higher power that was working with them. Right. There's just, it's not possible that it can't be. That can't be a hallucination. And you know, and I was actually joking about your name, Guest 41EI. And, you know, when it comes to Elon Musk, I can guarantee you that man has a lot of voices coming to him to invent and do the things that he does. Right. I'm not a fan of everything, but I'm a fan of a lot of it.
Yeah. And it's breaking the mold. It's
and he's breaking
outside
the
box, trying to change the game, save the planet. Right.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So they talk about these different categories, right? So one category that I've obviously harping on about hallucinations, they talk about lucid dreaming. They mention body jerks, and then they mention sleep paralysis. So we will get sleep paralysis, and I'm going to be like super pissy about the scientists for that one. But the hallucinations, what they claim is they say, of course, this is fun. They most often occur in young adults and teenagers and become less common with age. They say women are more likely to experience these hallucinations than men. So I'm just supporting
what
you
said.
Yeah, women, they be crazy.
So I want to give one example of a hallucination that happened a couple of weeks ago at, let's call it 4:30 in the morning when I heard screamed at me from the left side of the bed, Jimmy. Who is the name of a friend of mine, screamed at 4:30 in the morning. And so at a reasonable hour, I called Jimmy, not at 4:30 in the morning, and said, hey, I had this experience. Any chance that means something to you? And his dad passed within 24 hours of that.
That's not a hallucination.
That's not a hallucination, right? But guarantee that that's what they would label as a hallucination.
There's no doubt.
Right.
Yeah, that was a bit of a premonition.
Then. Yeah, well, it's you know, his dad was communicating from, you know, as he's testing the outside his body, right? So when we lose the body, we can connect with other spirits and really very with a lot of ease. And this person who was trying to transition was wanted to get my attention, and he's new in the spirit world, so he didn't just like tap me on the shoulder and go, hey.
Right. He yelled Jimmy.
He screamed his son's name at me. I was like, hey, you can just whisper. It's okay.
You know, that happened with Shanna's grandfather. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah,
that's
right.
And I were communicating.
Right.
Because he was, you know, he was in his going in and out transitioning. Right. And her grandmother called her and said, who's Julie?
Yeah.
Because he was screaming my name.
Right. Right.
Because I was talking to him.
Well, we know you like to be first in lists of names.
I do like to be first. I actually don't. It's more of a joke because I really don't give a shit. But yeah, I do. But to play, of course I do.
But again, I'm just saying, like, this is, I think, what would qualify as hallucinations. So
it would.
I just want to make sure people have the context. or the science? Well,
and here's what science tells us is that they say it's not clear what causes these hallucinations, but they call them risk factors. Like it's a bad thing, right? They say alcohol or recreational drug use. By the way, that does can definitely cause an hallucination. Doesn't mean that it's, you know, just purely sleep induced. Insomnia is another, stress and anxiety, narcolepsy, bipolar disorder, and depression. I'm like, you guys just went through and listed things that affect people in their wake, in their waking time, not just their sleep time. And it's like they're connecting it to this. It's like this is what science can't. That's why I'm so excited for quantum computing to really become real, because I really am fully convinced that quantum computing will help solve some of this dipshittery in the scientific community.
Do you want to unpack that for those of us who aren't familiar with quantum computing?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it'll take me a minute. So within each cell, or each atom, actually, we have a proton, a neutron, an electron. And if you ever look at a picture of one, they're kind of small within this atom, but there's a lot of what you would look at and call it blank space.
Right.
Well, it's not blank. We just can't see it. And quantum computing is going to be able to see and help us understand what's in there. And that's the exciting part, because there's a lot of belief in, you know, our people, so to speak, even with a lot of people actually in the quantum, like the quantum scientist, the quantum physicist, really believe that that will help answer a lot of what they call like a lot of the psychic questions, and kind of give an answer to why some of these things can occur and why some can tap in, and how we're not just in a one-dimensional world, or even, a single dimension, that we have a lot of dimensions that we go in and out of. And part of that can be captured in on a cellular level.
This is awesome.
Right? Isn't that exciting?
Okay, this is my favorite part of the episode so far. But
yeah, right? Right? Oh, it's not me saying hypno, go what?
But that was good too.
Oh, the guess 413EI. I mean, come on, there's a list, Brenda. Yeah, I mean, it's just because it's the most recent.
Yeah, this is just goes on and on. This is awesome. Okay. and we need to take another break.
That fast? Holy shit. Okay.
Did you know Amazon provides ways of working that fit your lifestyle? They know you value your time outside of work, juggling family, school, friends, or other activities. That's why they offer a variety of shifts that work for you. There are full-time, part-time, and even temporary opportunities that can work with your schedule, with great starting pay and sign-on bonuses. If you want a career that fits and adapts to your lifestyle, head to amazon.com/apply. Amazon is a proud equal opportunity employer.
Hi, I'm Robert Sex Reese, host of the Dr. Sex Reese Show. And every episode, I listen to people talk about their sex and intimacy issues. And yes, I despise every minute of it. I mean, she made mistakes too, right?
That's true. She did kill everyone at her wedding.
But hell is real. We're all trapped here. And there's nothing any of us can do about it. So join me, won't you?
Listen to the Dr. Sex Reese Show every Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Dutton.
And I'm Elizabeth Dutton. Oh, wait, sorry.
Zarin, do you want to say your name?
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
We're the hosts of Ridiculous Crime. People love true crime, right? The mystery, the intrigue, the human frailty.
Totally.
But what a lot of us don't like is the blood and the guts and the mayhem.
Wait. Some of us do like the mayhem.
Okay, but let's be real. There's nothing funny about murder.
Okay, that's right.
Our show gives you stories like the kidnapping of Frank Sinatra Jr. and the Max Headroom signal hijacking.
Oh, so you mean ridiculous stories like the UK cat shaver and Pablo Escobar's cocaine hippos?
Yeah, stories like the dudes who stole Buzzy, the animatronic whatever he was, from Disney World, and the woman whose husband tried to kill her but came back from the dead and surprised him at her own funeral.
Yeah, that does sound good.
You can listen to Ridiculous Crime starting February 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to our nerdy elf session. This is awesome. Bring us up to speed, elf. Go, go, go.
So the other things within the hallucination category, they talk about kaleidoscope of changing colors, the appearance of random geometric patterns, flashing lights, images of people, animals, or faces.
AKA meditation. But
seriously, like this is why I actually really love that the question was asked, because I think through this process, we're answering it for he or she. They talk about auditory hallucinations, which is what you were just talking about. Voices or words, music, phone ringing, doorbell sounds, your name. Right? Or someone, or Jimmy. or Big Daddy, which is, anyway. Yeah. And then they talk about other, they say they have another category. Weightlessness, flying, falling, feeling like there's a presence in the room. It's like, I'm sorry, these are not all hallucinations. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much more depth to these. And, you know, some of these things could very well be like, you know, once we get into that kind of astral travel, you know, we talked about that, you know, so those folks who are interested in this go back to the astral travel, I think we called it astral plane, I think is what we called it, plane trip or something. Anyway, go back to that episode. And we talk a lot about, you know, how when again, our body is resting, our spirit is busy and it goes up to that astral plane. And that's why sometimes when you come back the next day, have a conversation with someone, it's like, have we had this conversation? It feels like we have, probably because you did.
Yeah. Energetically. And you can even set, not to, to be distracted, but you can set your intention before you go to sleep to do that sort of thing so you can be better informed the next day.
Right.
But that's just a hallucination. So never mind.
That's just, you're just a woman, Brenda.
Exactly.
So you're just a woman.
I just got ahead of myself.
You did. You got ahead of yourself. And then they talk about, they call them hypnagogic jerks. Like, so that's effectively when you have those sudden muscle contractions and stuff. And it's like, you know, I'm not going to argue with him on that. Believe it or not, I'm actually not arguing about the physical jerks that happen, but
actually I have a perspective on that. If it's helpful.
Please. I'm not going to argue with them. I want you to argue with the scientists now.
I'm not going to argue with them, but my experience is that that is the parasympathetic nervous system releasing the stress of the day. Because when we get jacked up about stuff, we hold it in our body. We know that, right? And people will do that when they're on my healing table. I do it when I'm falling asleep sometimes. You know, it's just that, oh, thank God, you know, I've released fight, flight, and freeze. I'm in the parasympathetic nervous system, rest and digest. And now I can go to sleep.
So super pisses me off when it wakes me up, though, because I've had muscle jerks kind of thing that it have actually like awoken me up. Not in the middle of the night, like in that early, like going from wake to rest.
It's that handoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is different than restless leg syndrome, just FYI. That's a totally different thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Suzanne suffers from that. So yeah, I think. Yeah, she does. So that's just like one of the things that they list. And here's the one that is most triggering to me. Not that if you haven't noticed, I'm already triggered by the science, the lack of, because to me, science,
just uninitiated.
They're not there, because I think science, the beauty of science, like when I think about science, I think about, you know, like space. For instance, like they are all wanting to like, what is out there? What is
the final frontier?
The final fucking frontier. Like what's out there? And like, this seems, it's like they're trying to shove it in this box, you know, and they're calling things one thing, you know, it's like, these are all hallucinations, you know? I said, why don't you actually open your mind to try to really try to discover what it is and so on and so forth. But the one that gets me is actually sleep paralysis, because they categorize sleep paralysis in this hypnagogia category. And where they're wrong is sleep paralysis does actually not occur when you go from wake to rest. It actually goes when you go from rest to wakefulness. So it's on the other side, ha, 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 yeah, of the sleep continuum.
Yep.
I just said sleep continuum like I knew what I was talking about. That's pretty funny.
That's good. I like the phrase.
Totally made it up. I didn't really make it up. I just didn't know it existed, but I was probably channeling it from, you know, one of my guides that knows a little something, something.
Einstein.
Einstein told me, so that's hilarious, because sleep paralysis, I have never once spoken to, heard of, read anything about sleep paralysis happening when you go from wakefulness to sleep.
Right.
Only have I heard, read, understood it coming from
sleep to wake.
So to the person who asked the question, thank you, because I think that's important for anybody who's interested in this to know that there is a difference and there is inconsistency. A lot of them, by the way, with how they report, but they're throwing things into these categories that they do not understand. That's my other thing. Don't write about shit you don't understand. She says.
In their defense, you can only know what you know. And so they think now they know this, right? Because of the company they keep. They don't know. They haven't talked to you. They haven't talked to people who know these things. So they can only know what they know.
Right. So here's how they define it. Yeah, I'm going to let that one pass. I'm not going to argue with you on it. because don't, but my point is don't write about something like that. But so, but they, I guess they think they know. So the way that they define sleep paralysis is a feeling of being awake, but being unable to move your muscles. It often occurs along with hypnagogic hallucinations in people with narcolepsy. I'm like, that is all false. There's not a word in there that belong, that should be strung together. That is utter fucking bullshit. And by the way, I'm not a scientist, people, so don't like go rat us out to iHeart saying they're trying to tell me that these experts are wrong. Well, I am, but I'm also not, and I'm more of an expert, I think, than they are on it. But that is all false. Because yes, muscle is part of it, but the other thing is, if anybody bothered to do any research on it, they would learn that it's like you literally cannot move. Right. You cannot move, and you cannot speak. People who think they're screaming when they're in a sleep paralysis moment.
Silent.
It's like, it might sound like this. At the loudest, it's going to sound like a whisper. They think they're screaming. In fact, a lot of them are screaming for help. Because the other thing these yahoos say is, oh, did I just say that? I did out loud, didn't I? They say, although sleep paralysis can be frightening, no shit, Sherlock, symptoms usually go away in minutes, lie, without any health consequences, lie. Because the thing, the health consequences that happen for people is that they're actually afraid to sleep. Because they are so mortified and petrified on an emotional level.
It's trauma.
It's trauma for people.
And so it keeps firing in the brain even when the moment has passed. That's the definition of trauma. Yes. And, you know, you're conscious and it's not sleep, right? And so it's
correct.
It's awful. It's awful. The heart races, sweat, like even in waking moments of reliving it.
Right.
If you've ever talked to anyone who's had that, I mean, you can see it in their eyes. It's awful.
Oh, and weirdly, they have all found me. Not all of them, but a lot of them have found me. And from people who've had it since they were 9 years old.
Right.
By the way, it didn't end. They, as adults, they still continue to suffer from it. Because it is, and it's not that it happens every night.
No.
But they don't know. Like, that's the thing, right? And so the mystery of it is also a bit terrifying for them as well. And that is, you know, that is the biggest reason that I got into black tourmaline so much was because of wanting to protect people who suffered from that. I have never suffered from it. In fact, that little fucker hat man, he's scared of me and he's going to get nowhere near my ass because I'll beat him down, says the panther elf elves. Should I be panther / panthers? That'll be my next one. I'll do that next week for you. But it is a real thing. It is why we have this black tourmaline that we do. This is not a commercial for vibes, but if you know anybody, it would not hurt. In fact, so far that black tourmaline is batting 1,000 helping people through their, sleep paralysis, which is why I feel like I'm much more of an expert on something like this. Another person who's a really great expert on just understanding a lot of it is, I think I mentioned her before, is Heidi Hollis, and her books are certainly worth reading. And to understand, because she's had such a very different experience than either myself or my beautiful Richie Poo. Her perspective is very raw.
Intense.
Because she has suffered. Yeah, very intense.
Very intense.
So, and then they talk about lucid dreams, you know, and it's about that you're able to control the dream or a storyline. I don't know. Have you ever been able to do that?
Yes.
You have? I haven't.
So, can't speak for everyone, obviously, but it's often when you're in a dream, you're like, oh, I don't like how this is going. I need to get out of this dream. And then you can, so even when you have that awareness while you're dreaming, that they would consider that lucid dreaming because you're aware that you're dreaming. And then you can go back into the dream and replay it and change the ending.
Oh, interesting.
I've done that.
So what would you consider lucid dreaming if like from a spiritual, you know, kind of perspective or a biological perspective, like why are you able is that a middle of the night thing or is that early in your sleep?
Yes.
Yes. What?
Yes. All to both of those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love when you do that. Like, yes. The answer is yes. Goodbye.
It can happen at any point, early, middle, or late in the sleeping process. But it's just a matter of not waking up entirely, but just deciding to change the dream. Like when you're finally aware that you're dreaming and if something's unpleasant or like I remember one in specific, I don't know why this one popped out, where I was like, this is just the most efficient use of my energy. This is ridiculous. I do not want to dream about being in a war. Like I was dreaming I was in a war.
And
I was
interesting.
Like, I am like, you know, I work really hard every day. I try and bring my best every single day. And at war, that is not my world. And I don't want to fight in my dreams. That's like a terrible use of my energy. Reset. So that I went into the dream. And what was it, a battleground was literally a battleground. I turned into a garden.
Oh my God, you're so funny. I've never experienced that. I'm going to try to.
I'm quite happy with this outcome. This is beautiful. Thank you very much.
That's so interesting. That's really funny. I guess I've just kind of rolled with it all. I mean, like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be, you know, experiencing right now. I just kind of go with it.
I will say it was a time when I was literally working 20 hours a day. And so that's what was the real irritation. Really, I'm going to be sleeping for 4 hours and this is what I'm doing. Are you flipping kidding me with this? I don't think so. Like, it was that kind of moment.
And, yeah. And the spirit world was like, guess what, Wishy Poo? Quit working 20 hours a day. That's what we're trying to tell you.
I mean, that was it. But I'm like, no, where I'm going, I'm actually going to create beauty wherever it is.
Oh, that's awesome. It was awesome. That's awesome. So I think the answer to the question of spiritual meanings is yeah. Yeah, it is. In many cases, it can, listen, I'm not going to say in every case, because there are certainly people that have chemical imbalances in their body that will suffer from hallucinations or, and listen, I've been known on occasion to have a cocktail and that is some wicked weird sleep and it's not pleasant.
It happens.
Right. So things can happen, but outside of those experiences or situations, disorders, whatever they may be, outside of that, there's a lot that is the spirit world tries to get through to us. And I think you actually told me early on when we met that you talked about, yeah, spirit gets to you when either you're driving, right, or you're asleep, because your brain is so active that that's the only time they can get to you. And so when people are experiencing things, just know that that might be what's happening. And whether it's an idea they're trying to get you to hold on to. I've had so many ideas come to me through sleep, so many. I keep a notepad. I like consciously will, because again, that's my jam. I love creativity. It's my life force.
Trust those hallucinations, people.
Yeah, trust your, especially if you're a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Trust them, you know. Right? Yeah. So there's a spiritual meaning.
Shower is a great time too.
Shower is a great time, right? Shower, yes.
Yes,
shower, dry. And I mean, I'm also a different person than I was 10 years ago, you know, or 11 years ago when we met, but or lifetime, whatever what it is, that it's, they get to me all the time now. But back then, those were the only times that they could actually really get to me. So I can appreciate that if people are experiencing this, that could be very well what's happening, but they can be in the, whether it's showing you in a lucid dream or whatever, that there's a war that's happening. It's like, well, pay attention to that, because, you know, dream interpretation is something we haven't even dove into yet. That is a very real thing for us, I think, at some point to talk about.
Or just choose a garden.
or if you're Brenda, choose a garden. There's your dream interpretation episode right there. Choose a garden. But there's also things that can happen that are very unsettling, can be very scary, which is a sleep paralysis, right? And yes, is there spiritual meaning? You bet there is. In fact, that little fucker has been around for, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years, tormenting people for various reasons. Sometimes your light is so damn bright that he's going to find you. It doesn't mean you're bad. You're not bad. No, there's so much goodness in all of us. You're not bad. Did something happen in your life that created a crack, a break for something like that to come in? Possibly. Could it be your light is so bright, like you're a lighthouse in the middle of this like really, really, really dark ocean? Sure, that can be it too.
Nerdy Elf, thank you for your service. Thank you for your passion. And thank you for this beautiful question. Sorry, we don't have your name.
Whoever you are, thank you.
Let us hear from you. Let us know what you think. And thanks for listening, everybody. And remember, our school is hard.
Without hypnagogia.
Thanks, everybody.
Without hallucinations. Without women. I'm sorry, without the other side. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, my God. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and a special thanks to our producer, Alejandra Arevalo, and our executive producer, Maya Cole Howard, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides or shoot us a note at OtherSideGuides@iHeartRadio.com, and you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think. We want to know what you know. And we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.